when I first heard this, and it was a guy by the name of Mike Wicklund, and how he was associated with Living Waters, I have no idea. There was a better guy by the name of Lowell Pearson that came, and but we did a little Bible study down in Colorado Springs. And a lot of you have heard this story, but I remember when he first told me about salvation, he asked me if I knew I was going to heaven. I said, well, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I said, I assume I'm going to go to heaven. He said, but do you know? And he told me, and everything about it I embraced. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, died on the cross, was raised again by the power of his Father? I looked at him horrified. I said, don't you? And he started telling me that. Then he brought up about the Holy Spirit. And I wanted it right then. When we started talking about the bridal message, God just poured it into me. It made sense. I got it. I saw the ranks. I could feel it. I knew. When I was a child, we grew up Catholic. And I remember leaving and going out of the church and walking into the sunlight and thinking to myself, I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be in charge of something. I'm this tall. And then I'd think, boy, I'm going to hell for thinking that. But that's exactly what he tells us, right? And you know, I was thinking, the first time Jesse asked me to come up and speak at the convention, I told him, I said, I don't know. I said, let me pray about it, brother. I don't know that I really felt led to do it. And I'll never forget this. I had a dream that night. And this exact view is what the dream was. And when I got here the first time, I told him, I said, brother, I feel I'm being led to come. I was being told to come. I got here, and this is exactly what it looked like. It was this blue. It was the pews. It was all this stuff. Last night, I told Jesse he's going to start doing some work to the church. I prayed, and I asked God, and I ask him all the time, I said, because we should. We should tell him we want visions. We should tell him we want dreams. We should tell him we want to see things at night. Last night, I flew in this church, and I don't know why, and I prayed about the rapture. I've asked him about the rapture. He's shown it to me, and I asked him to show it to me, and he said to me one time, I pray to see it in a dream. He says, you have. And I used to have this recurring dream when I was a child. And in Pagosa Springs, our house, we lived on a hill, and this horn goes off. Remember in Baba Black Sheep, the old, when the aircraft were coming in, they did the siren, you know, and that's, to me, then my dream, that's what it was. My grandmother, my sisters, my folks, everyone ran away, running down the hill, and I told them to stop. This is a good thing. And I never forget in the dream, all of a sudden this wind wraps around me, and I get lifted up, and I go, I can see the house, I can see it as clearly right now as then. I go over the house, my arms go out. I'm pretty sure this was the first time I spoke in tongues in a thing. I said, abracadabra. I have no idea why I did that, but after I took off, I went up over the top, I saw the trees, and that was the end of the dream every single time. Last night, I prayed, and I asked him, I said, just give me vision. I prayed for the meeting, I prayed for today, I prayed for the messages, and I was standing in here, I was sitting right over here, right, probably the middle of this pew, and there was a little table there with two chairs, and I got picked up, and I flew up, and I was in those points, right at the very pitch of the roof. And I flew back and forth in here, and I saw the whole church. And I told Jesse, he had told me one time, there truly is the most beautiful wood on the other side of this foam. I saw it in a dream. I went up and down, and I saw that, and I saw all the things that was on the walls that are covered right now. I told Polly about the dream this morning. She goes, oh, when you tell Jesse, he's going to start pulling that stuff off the wall. So anyway, what I want to talk about, though, is our Lord. We're going to bounce around a whole lot of scripture. God, it's funny, when years ago when God started pouring this into me. I mean, he poured revelation into me. It was just, I remember the first time I met sweet brother Gene. I was so excited. I didn't know about Living Waters. I didn't know about Grace and Glory. And in 1991, I wrote a letter that Paul Smith got and wrote back. And I asked him just to send me one study book. I really wanted Philippians. And I sent me the whole Corn Crib. I went down a few years ago to Kansas, and I just went to see Gene. I was so excited because I just knew him. I knew him. It felt like I'd known him for years. I walked in, and I said, "Brother Gene," and he goes, "Who are you?" I said, I told him I had two questions. I said, "Is this where we're doing the Labor Day conference, and where's the best barbecue to get down here?" He graced me with both. Open your sweet Bibles to Psalms. I'm going to read it. We're going to bounce around a lot, so if you just want to write these down, Psalm 23:5. You know, I was telling Jesse, God started working on me again here recently and pouring revelation out on me again like he did when I was young, and started me this last year on when we were started really, really working and studying on being in Christ, what that really truly means, what that life looked like. And you guys are on that right now. And I love how God works in this fashion, that he reveals the same things at the same time because it's the same body. And a few years ago, we came in, and all of us that were talking, we were on the two natures. And it just amazes me. I called Jesse and started talking about him. He said, "Brother, you need to listen to this last Wednesday's study." I got on the study, and it was the same exact thing. I called him back and told him, "Brother, I love you so very much. I love that truth in you. I love that grace in you." And over the last couple of months, God's been pouring things out of the Psalms to me and in this Christ. This is what Psalms 23:5 says. Everybody, we all know this psalm well. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know what God wants from us? He wants for us to appreciate him for what he is and who he is and what he's doing. When we choose to seek and be a part of this divine purpose, he's building a bride for his son. We are so blessed to live in this age of grace. I thank God I was not born in the age of law. Thank God I was not born in any other age. We'd watch Daniel in the revelation and the things that he saw and the beautiful stories. And I wouldn't trade places with him for nothing. You know, we embrace this grace and we embrace this truth. God wants us to have everything. The riches of Christ, he wants you to have. He put them out there for us to have. I put in here wanting to be a part of this divine purpose. I got to thinking, and it's kind of changed last night. What's he looking for in us? A dedicated heart, right? He wants us to walk with him. This is the sad thing with the church today, and I'm going to pick on Christendom a little bit today too, because God walks with every one of his children. But very, very few walk with him. Christendom as a whole today is business. You got to fill seats. You got to pay the bills. You got to pay the people. You got to get this stuff in. But it's not being, the truth isn't being taught. God wants a dedicated heart from you. He wants a heart that's after his truth, that's after his son, that's after him. Enoch walked with God. But we don't take the example. Today, I look at churches, we get these big mega places and these guys, and we're bringing people to Christ by the tens of thousands. You know what they're doing? They're emptying the other churches because the programs are better. They're emptying the other churches because the children's programs are better. You know, it's not about the truth anymore. The message today is there is no message. And as we go through this to see this life that he put in us, I got to thinking about David in the cave of Adullam, right? And he calls out to the guys, and the guys come up to see him, and he says exactly this. Why speak you not a word of bringing the king back? You know, the church today as a whole, everybody loves to say, oh, we're looking forward to his coming. Everybody in the church today calls out, please come, Lord Jesus. Just not today. I got things to do. I got things to finish. I got this. My kids haven't grown up yet. This, and it's just as they said, the forefathers used to say, nothing has changed. But I'm going to tell you, it might be this morning. Are we really prepared for the reality of his appearing right now? Is our heart dedicated? Is our heart in love? Are we after him? Is this truth the most important thing? Because it's more important than our families. It's more important than the people. It's more important than our children. This I'm telling you, this is everything. This creation, everything that God's done was for a single purpose. He's building a bride for his son. God saw fit that he should not be alone. I wrote in here, does the church call for him? No. Is this the same word that everybody has? Uh-huh. The opportunity to rule and to reign with him. The truth exists in these pages. But nobody picks it up. I tell our guys all the time, you know, if I sit up here and I tell you 2 + 2 = 5 all year. All year long, at the end of the year, the test, everybody gets a test and it says, what's 2 + 2? And everybody puts 5. Whose fault was that? Number one, I want to be held accountable for the way I'm teaching. Two, somebody should have looked it up because little Kara put 4. She said, I don't think that's right. She looked it up and sure enough, it was 4. We have to be in this. I think about this. If you took this word, like this, and you set that word right there, and you put a box right there full of that had $1 million in it, how much of the church would pick the word or the truth? If we lost $1 million in the parking lot out here, you couldn't park enough people in this part of town that would come help you find it. The truth, the deepest things of God, the richest, the unsearchable riches of Christ exist in the very place I'm talking about, and there's plenty of parking. Isn't it crazy? It's just crazy to think about the things that we go. This is another heart he's looking for, an I will go heart. When I heard this truth, I said, I will go. It made sense. I could reign with Jesus. I could be in charge of something. And when he started putting this stuff into me, and then as the grace, this is another thing I thank my dear, precious Lord for, that the grace he started putting in me early. I started to see the love I had for the saints, the light. I could see the light in people and the light in saints, and I fell in love with that light. It's him. It's Christ in us. And the love that I have for the truth. I thank the dear Lord for my saints and my friends here that are so close and that show me this unbelievable love and grace. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's undefinable. And it's Christ in us, right? It's him. I pray every day to know the love of Christ that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you imagine? God took everything that he is and put it in his son so he could put it in man. That we could grow into this, that we could come to this, that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you have any idea how big a statement this is? This is what God said. The fullness of me. Everything that I have is before you. I want to be all over the place with my notes. This is how it worked. You know, when we were pioneering the United States, this is how you got land. The farther you moved out, you laid claim to it. You didn't have to fence it. You said, this is mine, and you marked it, and you put the posts out there. But you know what you had to do? Occupy it. You had to stay on it. You couldn't just go say, I own everything that California is. I'll be back in 10 years. You went out, and you marked it out and said, this is my place. This is where I'm building. This is mine. That crown belongs to us. Hold fast what thou hast, right? Hold fast what thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Satan just wants us. Satan would love for all of us, every single one of us, to sit on the sidelines and watch everybody run by. Don't worry. Everybody's the same. God wouldn't do that. God's too fair. What they mean is they say God's too liberal, that he's going to do this. And believe, we have a liberality in Christ. But there is a love that we can have. There's a fullness that we can come to, that we can enjoy, that we can know. And we have to apprehend that. That I may apprehend that for which I'm apprehended for. Right? My cup runneth over. Think about this. We are so blessed in this age. Blessed in the day that we accepted, we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That seat, we are seated. It's there. That place is there. You know, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here. This life that he put in us, this life that God gave us, has always been. We are plugged into a life, born, new creation, a new life, right? And this life has always been. Before he hung a star in heaven, you were part of a life. It's so deep, it's so big, it's so much to try and comprehend. He created this little, I call it a capsule of time. And he created this capsule of time. And it's his dealings with mankind as we go through it. I asked God the other day, I have some of the crazy things happen to me. I'm taking a shower, and I'm praying. And I asked God, I said, and I know the answer, why not just sacrifice Jesus to Herod? He was the Son of God. He was a perfect sacrifice right then. But as a child, he was not ready for a throne. As a child, he was not ready for a bride. When he was older, he wasn't ready. But he gets to 30, and a ministry starts, and he's prepared now. I'm ready to be offered. He said that. When we get to that point, you know, and I'm going to talk about this flesh. When we get to that point, it's not us. It's him. It's him in us. It's the life of him in us. We today take this flesh and we form opinions about one another. And then we transfer that to God. And we transfer that to how holy we are, how beautiful we are. Well, God must love me the most. Not me, literally. I mean, talk about all you guys, because it's definitely not me. Because we start to form opinions about people, and then we want to transfer that over to make this what counts with God. That's not how God works. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. We know this, right? God looks at the heart. The secrets will be judged in our heart. The secrets of men, by Paul's gospel. How much love is us? We can look as humble as we want and try and appear as humble as we want. Every time you run across that person, that's one holy guy. But God knows. God's the only one that knows that. He's the only one that knows the answer to this, right? Like, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. An entire dispensation, entire age, the age of grace given to Paul. The mysteries, when we read in Colossians, everything hidden for all these ages. You know how God reveals it? In mystery form. So that we have to look. So that we have to seek, so that we have to dig, because the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ are sitting right in front of us. You know why? Because this is Jesus Christ. Amen. This is another amazing thing about this. This is how oblivious sometimes the church can be to this. Do you know that Christ in you recognizes the truth when it's heard? But this elder, old nature, flesh, don't like it. I'd rather go watch the Broncos on Sunday than go to church. I'd rather sit on the couch than sit in the pew. And we get so caught up in what the flesh is doing, when truly the elder was to serve the younger. That the new man would take this flesh and the flesh would bind. I was telling a buddy the other day, we were having lunch. I put my arm on the table. I could tell Brother Bob, come up here and just cut this thing off. Because there's no good thing that comes from this flesh, right? But you know what it needs? This thing has to turn the page in my Bible. It has to write notes. There's so much that this thing has to do for me. I just got to make sure it doesn't break the yoke. That the younger starts to serve the elder. That don't let them take over. All things have been made lawful, but not all things are good spiritual exercise. It's got to be good for us, right? Not all things are expedient for us. We can't get caught up in this world. He wants an I will go without the camp heart. Where did the Shulamite find him? It wasn't in the crowds. It wasn't in the cities. It wasn't in the clubs. Without the camp. I want to tell my sweet brother Tim Baker last night. I put in here, he says, an I believe heart. That was such a beautiful song. I don't know where you are, brother, but you're probably in the sound room. But that touched me. Brought me to tears. An I believe heart. It's impossible to please him without faith. He doesn't care. He could care less how much you perform with this. He just needs this to get the new man to church, to the word, to the truth. We're not going to impress him. It's not going to gain favor. Where I come from, it's called kicking a dead horse. Because this flesh is dead. God reckoned all mankind dead at the cross. There's one life. One single life. God can only find favor with the light in you. The life of Christ in you. This is the thing we got to understand. To what measure is that life going to be found in us? The fullness of the measure of the stature of the man, Jesus Christ? Or infants? Nepios. So young, so small, so infantile, that we are unable to even articulate what we want. This is the bulk of the church. Spiritual infants. Don't even care. You know what people, this is the thing I say all the time. You know what Christendom does today? All this truth existing here, but you know, everybody likes to go to church. There's churches are full out there. But they go to fellowship with each other about God instead of fellowshipping with God. God called us to fellowship with him, to walk with him. Enoch walked with them with a dedicated, thankful, loving heart. David sat in the cave of Adullam and asked those guys, do they even ask for me to come back? Think of Jesus sitting there waiting for this bride to be completed, waiting for that day when the Father says, go get her, right? And he's sitting there, and 99.9% of the church isn't asking for him, isn't truly wanting him to come back. Speak ye not of even the king coming back? It's crazy in Scripture how God perfectly, figuratively, typically covers everything. To know him is to love him, right? You know, we get caught up in this flesh and this and it, and we're going to keep going just deeper and deeper and deeper into this. We get so caught up into this flesh. I've had saints that have been studying this and saints that have been in this grace message for 40 years and realize finally I am trying to perfect the wrong thing. They were trying to perfect this. And not that, and not realizing what God's perfecting. It's Christ in us that's maturing. It's Christ in us that that's the life that's going to reign. We have to understand. And I'm going to tell you this right now. The key to overcoming is Galatians 2:20. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. When you start to realize, and we come to realize what God's working on, what God's perfecting, what's growing up, it's going to change. We are going to come to this truth. We are going to get excited about this, and we are going to get on a race course that we didn't realize that we thought we were running. And we're going to start skipping. We're going to start taking joy in this thing and going through this because it's that life that he's perfecting in us, right? I write this down. Psalm 138, 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Thank the dear Lord, we're his workmanship and not our own. I'm going to tell you, because if it was me, if I was the one really doing this, if I was the one that had to finish this course, I'd already be kicked out. And it'd be every one of us. It'd be impossible to please God. But you know what he's doing? He's perfecting something in you. And there's a life in you that he's working on. He says right there, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. This is the thing we have to understand. Perfect what? Exactly. It's that life that's maturing. It's that life that takes this truth. We got tapped in. I was thinking the other day, my sweet brother David, we were talking the other night. This life is everything. I want you to think about this for a second. He created, by him all things consist. He created the wood, the tree that made this. He created the clothes that we have on. He created us. He created this carpet. I was looking for a little piece of paper on the floor, but the floor is pretty clean. Somebody really did a good job. So I'll use this one. By him all things consist. There is one purpose, one hope of your calling. Do you know that this little piece of Kleenex exists because of him? It exists because he's building a bride for his son. This flesh is here to carry us to assemble together, to neglect not the assembling of ourselves, to love one another, to get close together, because we can't do this from afar. And he wants us to be together. He wants us to share the love. He wants us to be close. And he needs this flesh to bring us. He left us in this world. Because remember what Jesus said in John 17? I pray not you take him out of the world. But protect him from the evil. He left us in this earthen vessel. He left us in this world. Because without it, there'd be nothing to overcome. This flesh is what we're overcoming. This world is what we're overcoming. This place that he made, he didn't say, I create the earth and the heavens and the stars and all this stuff. He didn't have an old junk pile sitting in the back. I'll just use this stuff and recreate over here. He created everything of himself. By him are all things made. It's him. By him all things consist. It's him. It's the most incredible thing and the biggest thing to try and wrap our heads around, to comprehend. You know, I tell everybody, in the Bible, there's what we call modal verbs. I'm going to give you the definition of that. If I can find it. Modal verbs. They're auxiliary verbs that express necessity or possibility. It's the word may. It's the word would, should, could, might. That we may be able to comprehend. That we might attain. That we could come to. You ever notice how he puts these words in front of all this stuff? Because it shows possibility. He didn't say, you're gonna get all this. You're going to. I'm putting this understanding. He says, that you may, that we might. You know why? We have to ask. We have to look for the Holy Spirit to guide us, comfort us, teach us, grow us, and make us like him. Today in the church, this flesh, and the flesh loves it. Behavioral modification. Act better. You can't sit up straighter in the pews. It's not behavioral modification. It has to be gospel transformation. It has to be us becoming Christ because Christ is in us. Amen. Growing up to the measure of that whole stature of him. we go along and along and along and along for the ride, and this flesh likes it. The flesh wants God's grace. It just doesn't want it God's way. I don't like it God's way. I like it my way. I must intervene. I must help. I must do something. You know, if God needed any help with anything, you're the last person he'd ask. He doesn't need help. Thank the Lord, we are his workmanship. That the good works that he put before us are foreordained before us. We don't even have to look for them. We go out there. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm going to tell you who doesn't beat the air. Jesus. The flesh beats the air and beats the air and beats the air. It's, you try and compare these works, right? I am going to take my sweet sister, Anita Clark, and I'm going to help her carry her bags and go across the street over here, and God's going to owe me for it. Or I can take my sweet sister, Anita Clark, and carry her bags and walk her over here because it's Christ in me. People do not get this. It's Christ in us, right? This is a life. This is a life. You try and describe it. It's everything. It is not linear. Eternity past, eternity future. He knew us before he hung a star in heaven because we were plugged into a life that always has been. There's no clock ticking in heaven. There's no clock ticking in eternity. It's going to be there. You imagine, I think that, you know, and this is the other thing you ask most Christians, describe heaven. And the first thing is euphoria, floating clouds and all this. I'm going to tell you the acuity that you are going to have there is going to be just like his. To see, to know, to understand. If we stay this course, we will become just like him. Growing up in him in all things, speaking the truth in love. He puts it all out there so simply. I just like what Brother Jesse and I were talking about yesterday. It's been from the longest time, from the very beginning when God starts showing us, it's the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's not because it's simple-minded. It's because it's grace. It's God's grace. And God's grace got you from, you know, you've heard me say this before, 100 steps, right? Step one, salvation. Maybe step two, being filled with the Holy Spirit, baptism, knowledge, growth, all these things. Every single step is just grace. Him gracing us with his grace, grace upon grace. And I just look at God. How could we not have a thankful, dedicated heart for someone that tells you your cup is running over and you don't even know it? My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Listen to this one. Oh, I'd put this in here too. This is where we get caught up in this flesh thing too. Even Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof, he he might, see, that's why I shouldn't type these things. I just told Paulie this morning. He says, if anyone should have confidence in the flesh, I more. And he goes through and gives us, and I'm not going to go through it, but he goes through and he gives us this little resume of who he is. He says, try and touch that. But I count it all dung, that I may win Christ. Modal verb, possibility. Modal verb, possibility, that I may win Christ. We put it on the front of the church down there. On the other side, that grow in grace and in knowledge. It's the key to understanding. It's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's him. It's his life. It's him in us right here. This is the thing that we got. Christendom today is taught to imitate him, not be him, right? I can't believe everybody's not wearing sandals. Think about this. I'm dead serious. I mean, but we're taught to, we want to look like him. We want to act like him. We see him, and the Christendom as a whole sees him in the flesh, not as the Son of God. We have to see him for who he is. He wants us to appreciate him for who he is. He's the Son of God. I'm telling you this. And I'm getting off in a whole different place, but he gave something up for us that even he will be subject to God forever when this is all said and done. But he will have his bride. He will have a wife that God may be all in all. That's the deepest thing I've ever heard in my life. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Father and I are one. The love that he has for us. The care, the desire, the nourishing, the cherishing that he has for every one of you. We're all one. It's one life. I didn't get a special Jesus. The manna that came down from heaven. There was no special manna for the different tribes. It was the same manna. The water that flowed from the rock. Everybody had the same water. They had the Holy Spirit in that cloud to follow. And if there's one thing, if we should learn from Israel and from the Jew and from those Hebrews, if you don't want the promises of God, just start murmuring about them. Just start complaining about them. Man, I don't want to go to church. Why do I have to go Wednesday too? Why do I have to do this? You know what you're going to find out? Your Bible should have been open every other day of the week. Amen. We need to have this dedicated heart. We need to have this thankful heart. We need this I will go heart, not a believe heart, right? We're not even getting close to getting done here. The Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with them. Thank the dear Lord again that who Henry is was dead because it's the new life. It's a new creation in me. That new creation, I can tell you this, in that dream last night, that flesh didn't fly. That new man, that new creation, the newness did. The newness in that dream I had when I was a child, that new creation is what flew over that house. You can't get this dead horse any more above the ground than where you're standing. It is not going up. We try so hard to get this thing. God will perfect that which concerneth me. Do you know what it is when we talk about this, what God joined together? God and man joined us, brought us into the family, born, new creation, new life, tapped into a life that has always been. There always will be. The life that's in me has already lived for eternity, is living for eternity now. I can't wait. I long to see him. I long to touch him. If I had enough hair, I would wipe his feet right now. Kara's going to have to go with me. Because to be there, to be down, just like what John said, I felt dead at his feet. To behold, right? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. When we get to 26, you know what he talks about? Beating the air. Do you ever notice, and I know you do, because I know you saints, the distinction Paul always makes. That old nature, that flesh nature, and the new life, the new creation. The whole gospel's about it. Understanding that what he's working, understand what he's perfecting, understanding on this new man that we go through here. For I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. Think about what he says. When God says all things have been made lawful for me, but not all things expedient, that I may grow up into him in all things. Modal verb, possibility. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. Zero. There's not one thing that God needs from us in this flesh except for it to carry us to his word, to turn the page, to study, to write notes. If I didn't have this right hand, how would I write this? It's obviously that even with it, I could barely type. The flesh is an enmity with God. We watch people try so hard to perfect this. to get it better, make it better. We're being taught, people are being taught today, everything but God's truth. We're so blessed. So very blessed. I can't even, I don't even know how to thank God for bringing me to this truth. Some little kid from Pagosa Springs, Colorado, that just happened to be in Colorado Springs and sat with his cousin in a Toyota Celica one day that asked me if I was going to go to heaven. And he had been going to a study. he had been going to the study with these guys right then, and he was still real young, so he was on fire ready to witness, right? And he goes, and you can, he says, and you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't completely sure exactly what all this meant yet. He goes, you'll speak in another language. I said, what do you mean I'll speak in another language? He said, you'll speak in another language. I said, so someone else in the world will know what I'm saying. He goes, yeah, I think so. I guess so. I said, well, let me hear it. He got real quiet. Then he did it, but he did it really, really quiet. Like God, I don't know if he didn't want me to hear it or God didn't want to hear it. But he grew in grace and in knowledge of this stuff. But God saw these steps, right? Everything it took to get me to the day standing right here and brought me to a truth that obviously I didn't deserve. It's the exact opposite of what I deserved. He put a life in me. He put a life in me that is nothing but truth and nothing but love and nothing but everything. It's everything. It's all things. He put it in there. By him, all things consist. Listen to this. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9. When I consider, listen to how amazing God is. David writes this. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man? That thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Listen to what he says. This is a picture, perfect picture of two natures. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That life is the life that's in you. The insignificance of man and the exaltation of the same man. Think about that. The life of Christ in us. The insignificance of that old nature, of that old flesh, of who, God's no respecter of that. God sees your heart, right? He's no respecter of the person. He's no respecter of what we have, of what we do, of anything about that. He sees into this heart. He sees into this life. And he talks about the exaltation, the insignificance of man and the exaltation of the saint. It's the life that's in us. It's Jesus Christ in us over all things. It's beautiful to read when we put this in these Psalms and we see what God's saying and what God's doing and what God is showing us, how special this life is. My cup runneth over. Why? Not anything I did. It's because there's no cup capable of carrying and containing him. My cup runneth over because it's Christ. My cup runneth over because it's his life. My cup runneth over because it's his love. And there is no measure to it. It flows and it runs and it comes out of this thing. It's like what Brother Ray always said, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. You can't possibly take it all in, but you're going to continue, right? We're going to continue to take this stuff in. We're going to find out that the grace, and we're just going to keep going deeper in this. We're going to find out that this is an ocean of it. We can't even swim to the bottom of it. He's going to take all the ages to come and everything that to continue to show it to us. I will show you the exceeding amount of my grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can't wait for it, right? A picture of two natures, the insignificance of man, the same man exalted. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The insignificance of who Henry is to the exaltation of who Christ in me is. That we may be glorified together. That I may grow up into him in all things. That I speak the truth in love. It's crazy to think about the way the love works in all this because I could say, you know, if we looked at this in the fleshly manner, how do you describe love? Well, who we have favor with. But in the true love, the love that we want, the agape love, it's a love of the truth in us. It's Christ in us. It's how he's growing in us. The measure of the stature of the man Christ. How much measure will be found in you when you stand before God? I would hope that when we stand before God, we are sons, huios. So much like the other that any distinctions have become indiscernible. That he's looking right at Jesus. I'm ready to be offered. Jesus will say that, not Henry. Because Henry'd pick right now. It was better for Paul to stay. I'm betwixt between the two. But he stayed and taught us. He stayed and he wrote. He stayed and gave us this very word that we are going through. Because God had revealing to do. Why did he not sacrifice him to Herod? He wasn't ready for the throne. He wasn't ready for a wife. And if you think about all the ages to start with, I think about this. I had to get out of the shower and dry my hand off to write down notes because God was right saying it so fast and putting stuff into me so fast I couldn't remember it. Age one, right? Innocence. The inability to simply obey. Age two, conscience. Now we have a moral compass and we can't follow it. Age three, hierarchy. Well, let's see this flesh. Just let me see if you guys can organize yourself to make things work. Instant failure. Didn't even record anything. Said, sorry, bad deal. There were giants, right? This stuff, just these powerful men and these things that because we have these guys that run parts of this world, right? Then he comes in and we get to promise. Here, it's before you. Walk in. Take it. There's got to be something I got to do. What are you? Because we couldn't even accept the grace. We couldn't even accept the promise we lived in when it was laid before us. Walk into the land. Enjoy the land. Seek out every valley, every fountain, every stream, every spring. And occupy it. Oh, no, I can't do that. You know what we need? It's so difficult. Give us a policy. Give it to us in writing so that we can do it. And then we'll do it. Okay. Here you go. God had revealing to do to us before Jesus could be here, before he could be the sacrifice, because all those guys were saved by the same blood that we were. It was Jesus then. It's Jesus now. And if we go look at this, call unto the Lord. It's him. It's Jesus in us, right? I thank God that in this faithful, tiny remnant, that I'm just a part of it. And I pray for your prayer. I pray for your encouragement. I pray for your love. And you have mine. So that we can run this together, right? Because we can't do anything without God. Nothing. Nada. That's Spanish for nothing, if you don't know. It's funny, I wrote down this. Because this is what we do know about him, right? that flesh and Moses didn't part that sea. We know who parted the sea, because I defy anybody with flesh in there to part the water in this little bottle. You can't do it. He can. He doesn't need to come down here anymore to show us, because he needs an I will go heart. You're not taking my son back there again. They will come. They will say, I will go. Right? I put in here, our Lord said to love one another. Right? This is grace. Grace embraces. Grace loves. Grace reaches out. Grace cares. We in the church today, the Christians of the church today, don't live the free life the way God intended it. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because so much of the church puts you in bondage, tells you their opinion, tells you what they're thinking. Instead of showing grace, we impose guilt. I'll tell you something. Jesus is nothing but grace. God is nothing but grace. We love one another because it's Christ in us. He cannot deny himself. We love each other, and we start to understand and grow in us because it's Christ in us. It's a life. This is a life that is so big, so indescribable, so much that there is no measure. Eternity is not even a good word for it. How do you? It's everything. How do you make a tree from yourself? An ocean, a world, a planet, a mankind. And think about this. One hope of our calling. One hope. Everybody's got the same hope. We all see this. This is what the flesh does. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my job should be. God's got to have something for me. Wonder what that's doing there. It's not in the place it normally is, like where we keep it on the wall for decoration. We had this big old Bible in our house when I was growing up. I don't even think I ever saw it opened. It was art. It was even on a little fancy stand on the buffet. I looked it up. I looked in it once. I saw some pictures in it, and then I closed it because I thought I'd be in trouble. Oh, wretched man that I am, right? This is the next thing we do. Not only do we impose guilt, there's a wardrobe to the new man. There's clothing that only that new creation can wear. But we try like crazy to get it on that old flesh. Humility, love. And the church down there in Las Lunas, around the top, right, just at the pitch, around all the walls, I had everybody write down the characteristics. If you were to pick your child's perfect mate, write down exactly how that person would be described, all the characteristics. It's loving, caring, forgiving, graceful, Christ-like. I mean, it all goes all the way around this. And we look at this and we can pick what we think our child should have and think that God's list is any different. Mature, like him. Why in the world would you love someone you don't? What would you marry someone that you don't love, or that doesn't love you? Jesus is not going to do that. Why would you marry an infant? I got to tell you another quick story. My buddy Jim Meyer, he's one of my sweet friends. He's a worship pastor at one of the churches I know him. But this guy is talented. It's Christ in him. This guy gets it. But the depths, I don't know. His daughter Taylor, one day we were talking, and we were really talking bridal truth and this depth and what God's doing. And I said, and I was 45, somewhere in there, 44. And I asked him, I said, you know, brother, I said, let me put it to you this way. What if I came to you, and Taylor was 18 then. What if I came to you and said, Taylor and I want to get married. He'd go, you're too old for my daughter. He says, there is no way you would get my blessing. I said, what if it was of God? What if God said, that this is what he says. Well, if God said, I guess it'd have to be okay. What if she was 16? He goes, and God said it, and God said it. And then he said, finally, we were coming down. I said, what if she was 10? He goes, I'd call the cops. And you know what? He'd be right. Who in their right mind? I can tell you this, that 10-year-old is not prepared for marriage. When Jesus was 11 in the temple, he was not prepared for marriage. And anybody, any knucklehead that thinks that you're going to be marrying someone that's 10 is not ready for marriage either. We have to look at God and see what he wants for his son. What's he want for his son? Someone that has become so much like him that you can find nothing indiscernible anymore. So much like him, you can't tell him apart. Isn't that crazy? The simplicity that's in the grace of being in Christ. And then we take our natural mind, and this stuff that we get to thinking, and we start forming opinions about it. It's crazy. And it's just God's love. But we don't want to embrace that grace in it, right? If your heart, this wardrobe, it doesn't fit. I'm going to tell you right now, the wardrobe of the new creation, you're never going to get to fit. And when someone tells you, I just saw this happen. When someone tells you it's of God, you better check your Bible. Because if it doesn't fit God's grace and it doesn't fit God's word, it is not of God. But the flesh likes to say it's of God because they think that's going to justify everything they're about to tell you. What they're going to do is tell you to form some opinion about you. It's just grace, and it's Christ in us. It's the love of Christ in us. It's the life of Christ in us. We got tapped into this amazing life that has always been. The revelation that he has been pouring things on me again. It's like it was for years, that we may comprehend, that we might finish, that we could run, that we may win Christ, right? If your heart wants God's best, he'll perfect it. If your heart wants to win Christ, he will complete you. That's what he said. I will complete you. I will finish that good work in you which I started. I'm going to tell you, I look at this, and we take that word of God. When we become saints, that we are growing in this grace and growing in this truth, we stand on that because that's our God. He can't lie. He can't fail. And his word will never return void. I'm going to tell you, the time is so short. It is so close. Look at the groups look at how small it's becoming. Look at the assemblies. This faithful remnant is becoming a faithful remnant within a faithful remnant. He's coming. Amen. It's soon. I mean, I'll tell you, I always like, you know, I always hate to coin Billy Graham, but for no other reason, but it's true. He says, if God doesn't come soon, he's going to owe apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because this is what we're living in. It's the craziest thing ever. This world has gone completely bonkers. No God, no truth. Get it off the buildings. Get it off the money. You know where we want it? On our hearts. The fleshly tablets of our hearts, Christ in us, written in us, right? He left us in this earthen vessel for a reason. He gave us these two natures for a reason. To overcome. That Christ in us would emerge glorious and victorious, right? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This whole he that's in the world, wretched man that he is. No good thing comes from him. But I'm going to tell you, I've said this about some of you saints before. Sister Anita, Sister Linda, the light's getting so bright in you that the earthen vessel that you're in can't even contain it anymore. You're glowing. Turn the lights out. I'll show you. It's just insane. We do what the homesteaders did. We do what they did. We are going to occupy this. We are going to lay claim to this. We are going to lay hold of this. And we are going to keep this because it belongs to us. Weos. That's what God wants. This is what it says. The quality and essence of one so resembling another that distinctions have become indiscernible. You know what? I tell you, I was so looking forward to coming up. I drove and thank God he drives with me. Because it's 6.5 hours driving up from Albuquerque, and I wrote notes for 6.5 hours. And because I love it. This morning I got up like 5 o'clock and grabbed my coffee, and I go down, and everything becomes a study. You start just one little thing, that you're looking at, and all of a sudden you're going to another, and then to another, and then to another, and then to another. Pretty soon you've got so many notes, and you've got so many things going through your head, you don't even remember where you started. I started this morning. I have no clue even how I got there. And I think about the life that's in me, that God so graced me to put it in, to tap me into a life, to plug me in, to conduit me into a life that always has been his. That life, when I'm part of that life, when you're part of that life, and it tells us that that child of God, the seed remaineth in him. The child of God cannot sin. That's the new one he's talking about. It's not the flesh. That flesh is going to sin and sin and sin and sin and never have any favor before God. But you realize that the life you're tapped into, those sins never existed. Think about what he has done. Think about the wisdom and the plan and the purpose of God and everything that he's done. How do you create an equal when you're God? How do you create someone that is just like your son? When he put Adam to sleep and he takes that rib out of that body, that faithful remnant, rib company, right, and creates her. And he's doing the same thing today. This church is so asleep in spiritual slumber that they will show up as infants. We say it, waving them palms and ready to serve, and all this time, and salvation is of our Lord. We are not going to be satisfied with that. We want to reign with him. We want to be with him. We want to be so in love with him that it's oneness. It's oneness. So much like him that we are truly indiscernible. And we get this plan that God, think about this. He could have created her. Poof, there she is. She will love you no matter what. But he had a whole rest of the kingdom to put together, to rule and reign over. He's created it. Now he's populating it. You take what he's done, and he takes her. And in God's wisdom, and in God's plan, he put all the fullness of himself in his son and sent him as a man here. Why? Because it's the only way he could die for us. Right? It's the only way he could die for us. And then raised him up. That we would be raised with him. And that the love that would come, the agape love that would come, the agape love that would grow in us, would grow in us because it's his life. And I'm going to tell you something. Those characteristics I'm talking about, he wants you to choose him. He's not forcing you to do anything. You are going to get it together, because this is what the flesh is going to tell you. You're going to get it together and look holy, because you're going to be standing before God. And if you don't hurry up and look holy, you're going to be in big trouble when you get there. When he's looking for the measure of the stature of the man, Jesus Christ, in you. How amazing is it that God figured out and built a plan that he could make a wife for his son out of wretched, rotten creation, people like us, and took a life and put it in us, right? And took a life to put it in us that was his so that it could happen. How amazing is our God, right? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Let's just thank God. Amen, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.